Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Authentic Persuasion live training sessions. I do these on Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, every Friday that I can. Sometimes they're pre-recorded, sometimes they're live. Today, I'm coming at you live and super excited to be here. It's crazy to think that next week is Thanksgiving. Today is November 19th. So Thanksgiving in the U.S. next week. And yeah, that's pretty wild to think that it's already here. 2021, which has been a pretty wild year, most people would agree, is almost done. And then we can think about 2022, start planning for that. I have a lot of exciting things coming up. I have a lot of companies that are having me work with their teams as we start kicking off 2022, which is super fun because it's always this like new time of year, new exciting thing. It's like, okay, what did we learn? What are we going to do moving forward? And hopefully if you're watching these and tuning in, you've caught the 13 previous sessions leading up into this one, week 14. If not, the replays are all available. They're available wherever you're watching this. They're on LinkedIn. They're on Facebook. They're on the YouTube channel in their completeness. They're also on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. So if you're not on that, you can subscribe and then download all the episodes and get caught up. There's a lot of things. Essentially, what I'm doing is going through everything that I have in the Selling with Authentic Persuasion Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker book, plus from the time that I wrote that and then it went into editing to what I have learned, what I've added, what I couldn't put in the book because otherwise it would have been even larger than it was, and that I wanted to and that I think is helpful. So that's where I'm going with all of this. Wherever you're tuning in, if you're watching this live, please make sure to hit the like button, to share this so that other people in the network can find this. It really helps. The biggest thing is that I am focused on empowering and encouraging and enabling over a million authentic persuaders in the world. Because if we think about even just the words authentic persuasion, if people are selling with authentic persuasion and persuading like a professional out there in the world, they will shift both their effectiveness in sales as well as what customers expect, what they want, who they want to work with, what kind of people they want to interact with. Because fundamentally, and this is the conversation that comes up all the time in everything that I do, sales is a dirty word. People view sales as something that's gross and something I'm doing to you. And it's something I'm using as a force to manipulate you so that I win and I don't really care what happens to you versus what it could mean. And now that's not the act of sales that's the problem. It's the connotation, the people who use it as that kind of a weapon against somebody versus what it could be, which is a service. And sales is definitely a service and should be done as such. As sales is something you're doing for somebody and with them as their guide. And that's what we're covering here as I'm going through these. Please make sure to say hello if you're in the chat. Rachel, thanks for tuning in. Gabe, love that you're here on Facebook watching. I can see the chats in here and I appreciate that. If people don't know, please, I'm going to take a quick brief second here. Please find Gabe Leal on LinkedIn. He does amazing stuff. He's putting a lot of great content out there. It's people like him that I appreciate so much because trying to be a positive force, put positive things, help support each other and help it be about moving
people up and lifting people up, which is what I love about communities like this. So appreciate you, Gabe, for everything that you do. Make sure to follow him if you're not. He's all over the place. It's really easy to find him. If you can't, you can always message me. But that's why I'm doing this, because I want to help people embrace the fact that sales is something that you could be doing for and with somebody as their guide. In fact, I recorded an episode yesterday for a podcast for sales engineers, and sales engineers are close to my heart because I grew up as an analytical kid. I'm still an analytical person when I look at problems, two analytical parents that were so loving and great and supportive, but that's where my brain goes, is the analytical side. When you look at sales engineers, they got that analytical problem solving. They want to help people. They want to engineer solutions. And fundamentally, typically, they dislike the thought of being in sales because they think sales is gross. And they think sales is that bad label, is something you're doing to somebody. And of course, that's not how it could be or should be or needs to be. It's just that's what they think that is. So really great conversation that leads into this, right? It's that the fact that people feel like their two options are pushing people or order taker. And I want you to be successful in the middle as a sales professional. So last week, one of the biggest things that I focused on, talked about, was avoiding the follow-up trap. So if you have Selling with Authentic Persuasion, that is the basis for chapter 16 in the book. And talking about why that happens, why your prospects might not be following up with you, might not be responding. Make sure to check out that session number 13 everywhere. Like I said, you can find it everywhere. You can also go to cutterconsultinggroup.com and go to the podcast page and find it there. The biggest thing that happens, and we all know this, is it feels like people go into what I call the prospect witness protection program, where essentially they just disappear, especially if they were an ideal potential client. And then all of a sudden they're gone and they're just a ghost and it doesn't make sense. Listen to or watch session 13, while I cover why that happens. It's so important. There's some fundamental things that you're doing to trigger that you need to do to and change so that that doesn't continue happening. And I also talked about what to do if your pipeline is currently filled with people who literally aren't responding. So that was last week. Now, where I want to go, and I've been mentioning this and I haven't gotten to it for the last few weeks, and so I'm finally going to get to it now, which is the closes that I think are so fundamental, right? I think these are such important closes that you should be using. And just so you know, and before I get into them, I just want to say that when done in a certain way, I'm not going to say right or wrong, because then that puts this connotation that there's a right way or wrong way. When sales is done in a certain way, specifically what I found to be wildly successful, which is using the authentic persuasion pathway, again, in whatever framework you're selling, whether it's B2B, B2C, short sales cycle, long sales cycle, one call close, enterprise level, to a business, to a consumer, doesn't matter. It's all about human to human. No matter what, your job is to help a confused, worried, scared, excited person make the right decision for them and help them feel safe. And remember, I mentioned this weeks ago, SAFE, S-A-F-E, is an acronym that I use, meaning successful at fear elimination. Your job is to help them be safe, feel safe that what they're going to do and what they're going to buy and what they're choosing is the right thing for them. So your job is to help them be successful at fear elimination. And that is your job. That is your duty to help them move forward. When it comes to closes, a lot of times I debate the fact that people, salespeople, trainers, gurus, other people teach that you should use some closes, that you should ask for the sale, that the reason that most people aren't successful in sales is because they're not asking for the sale. They're not saying, hey, is this something you're interested in buying? Would you like to buy this today? Where I think that's correct. There's a lot of people who could be more successful in sales if they ask for the sale, especially people who are acting and operating more like order takers, where they're hoping someone wants to buy. They're hoping they trigger enough initiative and excitement in the other person, or trust and value, that that other person, that prospect, that lead sees the value in it for themselves and says, hey, I would like this. How do I sign up? That's what most of us in sales are always hoping for. But hope is a dangerous thing. It's a bad strategy for long-term success in sales. And the key is that some people teach asking for the sale, asking to get them to buy, asking if they want to move forward. I, under most circumstances, disagree that that is the tactic that you should take, especially if you want to act as a sales professional, right? And the biggest key, and I'm going to use this analogy, I've used it before. Every time I say it, it makes me laugh at the thought of it, is let's look at an example. I want to give you an analogy of what happens in another profession. And I mention this one all the time because I think it's very important, which is in the medical profession. So let's imagine that you have broken your arm, right? So you broke your arm. Next thing you know, you're going to the emergency room. You're waiting there. They finally get you in. The doctor and the medical staff does their process, right? So they do x-rays, they do exams, they're doing tests, they're doing all these things. Then they come back, right, with the diagnosis. It says your arm is broken. Obviously, you already knew that. Here's what happened. You have this kind of a fracture. We're going to need to re-break it because it's already started healing. We need to reset it to the right place. We need to put in some pins and plates and screws, and then we need to put a cast on it. And then the doctor says, here is a brochure on spiral fractures. Here's a brochure on plates and pins and screws and everything you need to know about that. If you'd like, I can send you a follow-up email with some information so you can do some research. I'm sure there's some people that you need to talk to, you know, and here's my card. So let me know if this is something you would be interested in. Oh, and by the way, if you do this by the end of the month, we're doing a discount so I can do it for 10% off. Right? Like, that's ridiculous. You imagine if the doctor said that. Now imagine if the doctor said, try this. This is scenario number two, where the doctor says, all right, so arm is broken, plates and screws, got to put a cast on it. Is this something that you would like to get taken care of today? Imagine if they said that, right? That in and of itself also seems and feels ridiculous that they would say that. And why is that? Why does that feel so off? Well, it's because you have gone there with the desire to fix a problem. They have identified that problem. They've given you the diagnosis. They've given you the prescription. And now you just want that solution. That's why you're there. And of course, they took an oath that says that they will not cause undue harm. That's one part of the Hippocratic Oath. And so based on that, they know that their role is to not cause you undue harm, and letting you walk out in pain would be a personal and professional failure in their minds, right? The doctor that has taken this seriously as a professional would see that as failure. So they're not going to ask you, but that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about, where sales coaches and trainers and the advice and people out there is ask for the sale, right? Ask, is it, would you like to get your arm fixed today? Is that something you're interested in? Would you like to move forward with getting your arm fixed? Well, of course, I want to get my arm fixed. Do you have any questions before we begin? Is a different approach, but would you like to do that? We've noticed that you have a tumor. Would you like to get that tumor removed? Should we move forward with that? Like, that is, of course, a ridiculous example. Now, here's the big thing, because I can always already imagine, because this happens all the time, and I know what a lot of people are thinking. And before any of the people tuning into this want to type this into the chat, keep in mind, yes, I know that they are a doctor and they're dealing with either life and death or things that are serious. And most people in sales aren't dealing with life and death. Most people aren't dealing in something that is so dramatic where it's like what a doctor is dealing with. I get it. I totally understand. And what I'll tell you is, even if a manager makes it feel like it, getting that deal closed is not life or death. When I used to work in real estate, it felt like every realtor in the part of the transaction made it feel like everything was life or death. If that deal didn't happen, everything was dramatic. And so it can feel like that, even if it's not. And what I'll say is that the more in your mind and in practice, you can see yourself as a professional in the same way that that doctor views themselves as a professional, When you can do that for yourself and in your career, in your mind, in practice, in the words that you say, the actions that you take, when you can do that, then you will shift the way you sell. And again, it will go, I mentioned this before we even got into this discussion, it will make the difference and it will shift you away from feeling like sales is something I'm doing to you to sales is something I'm doing for you and with you. The biggest thing you can do in your mind to help with that is to shift and see yourself as a professional and persuade like a professional. That's why I have a course called Persuading Like a Professional. When conferences or companies hire me to speak and have me come speak to their groups, it's about persuading like a professional in different aspects within there, because that's one of the biggest things. The tactics, the things you say, the strategies you use, those are all important. But fundamentally, if you view yourself as a professional, you're going to handle things differently, which is what I'm going to talk about today with the closes. Now, I just got done saying you don't need to ask for a close, or essentially my rebuttal is that you shouldn't be asking for a close. A doctor wouldn't say, hey, is this a tumor that you'd like to get taken care of today? They wouldn't do that. They would do different things. And if you are a professional and you realize that you're a professional, no matter who you are and what you're selling, how long you've been in sales, what level of product. Again, you could be selling energy to consumers and helping them switch their energy company. You could be helping enterprise level organizations with a new ERP platform. Doesn't matter. Again, it's human to human. And if you are a professional and you are their guide, which I've talked about in many of these sessions, when you see yourself as a guide, then it's about guiding them. And guides don't always ask, guides assume. And that's the first thing. So there's two closes I want you to focus on, two strategies. And I call them closes because people can identify with closes and they think, oh, what's the best way to close deals? Like, how do I ask for the sale? How do I move people forward? And for me, I label these as closes, but they're really just strategies and mindsets and processes that you're using with the authentic persuasion pathway. And remember, if you're new to this, if this is the first time tuning in, obviously, make sure you catch out the previous 13 sessions because there's so much content in there. But the authentic persuasion pathway is a 5-step process to help somebody move away from the center of their comfort zone. So imagine a comfort zone, the circle, somebody safe and warm and cozy in the middle near their heart where it's all safe and predictable and danger is on the outside, right? Danger is the unknown. Danger is change. And so they're safely on the inside. Your job as a professional in sales is to persuade them to move out of their comfort zone to a safe resolution, a safe spot on the outside of that. And change is very scary. Best way to do that is two processes, two things to keep in mind. One is the consultative approach and close, and the other one is the assumptive approach and close. All right. So let's talk about the consultative close, consultation close. Right? This one, there's a lot of people who use this term, but I think this is super important. And it's not the same thing as using as a close, is using as a process. So a consultative process is when you're asking questions, when you're going through the discovery mode to try to see what it is that somebody has a problem with or what they have a goal for, right? Because it's not always about getting out of pain or avoiding pain. Sometimes it's actually achieving something better. There's a lot of people who focus on, okay, let's always find the pain and then let's make the pain worse. And then let's motivate them to get out of pain. And that is a negative way to go when selling every single time, because not everyone you deal with is going to be trying to avoid pain. Some of them might be wanting to achieve more or achieve a goal. Even if you're selling the same thing to the same types of people, everyone's going to be different. And so when you only focus on pain, you're only focusing on negativity, and that can drive some prospects away from you because it'll feel like you're trying to use manipulation to make basically fear mongering, which is not a great strategy. I remember studying David Sandler training early on, and it was about finding that pain, make that pain so unbearable in their mind that they beg for a solution. And that might work with some people in some situations if they have a pain that works. Otherwise, that's going to feel gross. It's going to feel pushy. And it's going to be, again, feel like fear mongering. And it's going to turn off a lot of people. And if they do sign up with you or buy from you under that fear, and that pain and that umbrella of just focusing on that, when that wears off, when a couple of hours or a couple of days, weeks, months after that conversation ends, they'll realize, wait a second, like I didn't like that experience. And so it doesn't always produce long-term results, really ideal clients. Consultative approach is looking at that, is looking at what is their pain or what is their goal? Where do they want to be? What is a ideal situation? What is a better place that they want to be at in their life? Again, avoiding pain or achieving a goal. What do they want? How could they potentially get there? And then this is the second part to the consultative approach, which is, do I have a solution that can help them? And that's the big thing, because when salespeople don't take a consultative approach, what they're doing is they're basically saying one size fits all. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your goal is. I sell this thing to everybody who's in this position or in this role or has a pulse. I don't care. I'm just going to sell it to you. And obviously that's what people dislike about sales. It doesn't feel customized, doesn't feel personal. It's what I talked about when I talked about the hope step a couple of sessions ago, where that part of the process is all about making about them. You have this problem or this goal, you're a square peg. I have a square peg solution, right? The square peg hole. Here we go. And I'm going to help you. And so the consultative approach is understanding who you are, what you have, what you want, where you're going, where you'd like to be, and then do I have a solution? If I don't, what can I point you to instead? And the power of saying no, which I covered before, and it's in the book, which is really important from a mindset strategy standpoint, which is, if I can help you, great. If I can't help you, I'll let you know. That's the consultative approach. When you're using it as a close, then it's about, I am the expert. I am the one who can move you forward. Now, a lot of times people think they're the same thing. I see people use a consultative approach and still end up like an order taker, because what happens is they say, you have this issue, I have this solution, that's great. And then they just leave it there, hoping the person says, oh, that sounds perfect. I would like what you're selling. Or they're asking for the sale. So they're doing the consultative approach, but not just closing it and going all the way, which is the second part, which is that assumptive close. So keep in mind, consultative approach is very important. One big thing that I see a lot too, is that people think if they're not a consultant, right, like myself, or they think they're not in a high-end, high-ticket sales role, or they're not selling something that's really high-ticket, that the consultative sales approach doesn't apply to them. And I would debate that everybody should use some type of consultative approach. And again, the backbone of the consultative sales approach and close is that what I have to sell is not for everybody. And my job is to determine if it's for you. And if it is, I'll let you know, right? Versus one size fits all versus everyone wins, right? Like if I'm selling magazines and I'm going door to door and I knock on a door and you answer, my job is to sell you a magazine. I don't care. I don't care if you want a magazine or not. I have a magazine for everybody on my list and I don't really care. Like this isn't about, do you even read magazines? This is about, I'm going to get you to buy a magazine and I'm going to try to shove one of these magazine solutions into something that you would like. For everyone else, consultative approach, asking questions, determining, using the authentic persuasion pathway, the rapport, empathy, trust, hope steps that we've covered so far, leading into the fifth one, spoiler alert, it's urgency, which we will get to next week, is that's the process you want to take. Now for the assumptive part, a great consultative close, a great consultant mindset, and somebody who sees themselves as a sales professional will use an assumptive close. Again, give you an example. Let's go back to the doctor analogy that I was using with the broken arm. Arm is broken, pins, plates, screws, need a cast. Doctor says, here's the diagnosis. Here's the prescription. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about not committing sales malpractice, which is so important. Doctor gives the prescription. Here's what we've got to do. This is going to hurt. I promise things will get better. We'll see you again in 6 weeks. We'll give you some pain meds. Any questions before we begin? That's it, right? Then begin. Based on the questions, they'll handle the questions, they'll deal with that. There's a lot we can talk about overcoming objections, which will come up in future sessions. Also, on that note, I have an ebook that I published. It's on Amazon, on Kindle, but if you want it free, it's called A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs, which is always interesting because people come with their own objections as they enter into sales. So it's a very important part that's overlooked by most people in sales. So overcoming objections. If you want that ebook, if you want the PDF, email me or send me a DM. Email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send it. Just say overcoming objections in the subject and then let me know that's what you want and then I'll reply back. I'll send that to you. Hopefully that helps you close some deals. Or you can send me a DM, no matter where you're watching this, just either put it in the comments or send me a direct message and say, Jason, I would love to help overcoming objections and I'll send you that ebook. Just let me know your email, where to send it. So the key is that you want to assume, that doctor assumes based on everything that they've gone through, based on you being there in their emergency room, in their exam room, based on what has happened up to that point, and based on the fact that they are a professional and they have a professional duty and responsibility and an oath that they've taken and certain criteria they're held accountable to, that if you need help and they can help you, then they assume that they will help you and that you want to move forward, right? They assume you want the surgery. They assume you want the tumor removed. They assume you want your broken arm fixed, right? That's what they're going to do. A good doctor is just going to assume and move forward. And that's what you want to do. Now, here's the challenge with that is when you assume, when you do the assumptive close, which is here's where we're going, I'm taking you with me, whether you stop me or not, or try to, here's where we're going. You have to do it in the right order. You have to follow the process that I'm outlining in the authentic persuasion pathway. Again, rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and then urgency, which is the next step. And I'm covering this right now before we get to urgency. So it lines up. So it feels right for you and it doesn't feel gross. The key is you've got to do those five things in order, in their completeness, relative to what you're selling, relative to the conversation, which is what I help a lot of companies and individuals with, is understanding how much time they should spend in each, what's important to do in each, how they can check that box in the process to make sure they do that in each step so that you can move forward. Because here's the thing is if you do the assumptive close and you haven't done those parts, right, you haven't built enough rapport and you haven't completed the empathy step, which is understanding why they want or need what you're offering, and doing it in a way that relays to them that you care, hopefully you do, and you're using active listening. So you're actually making it about them and not yourself talking all the time. Then you build that trust. Then you give them the hope, which is they want to be here. You can help them get there as their guide with the product or service that you're selling. Then you just want to assume that based on all those things lining up, you assume they have this goal they want to be at. You have the solution to that goal. Why would you not move forward? And that's why I disagree with the concept of asking for the sale, right? I have this. You want this. I have it. Is this something you would be interested in? It's like, no, of course. Like there should never be a doubt. And what you're looking for is they might stop you. They might throw objections. They might throw questions. They might get like step back a little bit. And this is what we'll talk about in the urgency step. What triggers the things like objections, questions, and concerns that come up is the fact that it's getting real. But that's what you want. But you also want to assume. You want to assume I have the path. I know how to get you up the mountain safely. I know how to move you out of your comfort zone with safety, successful at fear elimination. I know what's on the other side. I've seen it before with other customers, clients, people like yourself, other companies, individuals. I know what that looks like. I know what success looks like. I know there's safety over there. You don't know it yet, but I'm your guide. So I'm going to help you get to safety. And I'm assuming as a professional, I'm just going to get you there. I'm not asking. I'm not doubting myself. I'm not doubting you. I'm not planting seeds of doubt within you and your mind. And I'm not being pushy. I'm doing it in a way like a professional. And so that assumptive close is very important. It is, here's where we're going to go, right? The hope step is, okay, so based on what you told me and based on where your goals are or based on your situation and everything you shared, here is what we do. Here is what I provide. And here's how this will help you. You wanted to get out of debt. Here's how this program's going to do it. Here's what that looks like. Here's any questions about the program? Okay, great. The next step is we need to get the application submitted and get you approved for the program. That's it, right? The next step is, the next part of the process is, right? The next step is we need to get you into surgery and get this taken care of, right? It's not would you like to get in surgery? It's the next step is. And that's an important, powerful transition. If you've done everything properly, completely up to that point, all of the steps, and you're ready to move someone forward, then move someone forward, right? Here's another example, because this one, a lot of people can relate to. I've only been to the doctor a few times myself. I've been to the doctor in emergency situations with other people, but not for myself, knock on wood. But here's an example I know a lot of people, especially in the US, can relate to, which is the DMV. So when you go to the DMV, what happens other than waiting in line? Hopefully you make an appointment. And I've been in several different states now within the US. Some states are absolutely terrible, like California, and it's a dreadful experience to go to the DMV. Other states are an amazing experience where it's so great and mind-blowing that people don't even understand how great it can be. But here's what fundamentally happens. You go to the DMV, you finally get up to the window, you're dealing with something. Let's say you need to register a car. So I just did that in moving to Florida, needed to register a car. And so they don't say, would you like to register your car? No, I'm there to get it done. And then I fill out the form. They don't say, okay, so is this, you, do you want to pay for this today? Or, you know, is this something you need to think about? Like, no. And of course, if you're selling something, there's a bit more to it than the DMV example. But a lot of times what they're doing is they're just enrolling. They're doing the admin, they're doing the process. And they're just assuming that if you're there, you have something you want to get resolved or moving forward or achieve something, get your first driver's license. And so they don't ask you for permission to move forward. You've already given that. And when you as a salesperson, as a professional, can do that, focus on enrolling people and moving people forward more, then that is a huge shift. And again, I know I keep saying this, but I think it's so important because there's a lot of people who dread this part of the sale. They are okay with rapport. They're okay with empathy. They're good at building trust. Then it gets to the asking for the sale and everything falls apart. And what I am saying and advocating for is not asking for the sale, is assuming the close, assuming they want to move forward. Here's the big thing. And again, keyboard warriors who want to send me a bunch of messages, listen to this. And if you're in sales, I want you to listen to this as well, because it's so important. The key is that there's a difference between earning the right to close and asking for the close. So what I'm saying and what I'm advocating for under most situations, in most conversations, for most sales professionals, not all, sometimes you need to ask for it, depends on what you're doing. Every customer is going to be different. So sometimes you do need to ask that person because you know that that's what they're going to need. But there's a difference between, and what I'm saying is not asking for the sale, moving forward and being assumptive like a professional, that's different than earning the right to close. Because if we look at that doctor example, they have earned the right to move you forward in getting your arm fixed, both from a trust standpoint, because they have a whole bunch of certificates, they've passed some tests, right? But also from the rapport, from the empathy, from the uncovering the issue to the hope step, all of those things, when done in a certain order, they have earned the right to close, which means once they earn the right to close, they don't have to ask for the close. What I see is a lot of people ask for the close because they haven't actually done the steps to earn the right to close like a professional. So those are two different things. A lot of people focus on asking instead of earning the right. When you earn the right to close, then you can just assume we're going to move forward. I'm assuming I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you up the mountain. We're going to move forward together. We're going to get this done. And that's it, right? Like that's what we're going to do is move forward. And I want you to understand that. So the things we covered today is the consultative approach, which I think everybody can apply in their sales conversations. And then the consultative close, which is, okay, so based on this solution, I'm going to go into my assumptive close. which is I am going to assume that if we've made it this far, I've uncovered like a professional what your goal is, where you'd rather be, where you'd like to be, what you want to achieve, what fun stuff you want to do, what pain you want to avoid. If I've uncovered that and I know I have the way to get you there, which is the big key, then based on that, I'm going to assume we're going to get there together. We're going to go together. We're going to move forward together. And it's up to you to raise questions or objections. Otherwise, we're going to go because I'm the guide. And I know what safety looks like outside of the comfort zone, and I know how to get you there. And that is the big key. When you can do that, then you will see amazingly different results for your customers, but also within yourself. Because that, I'm telling you, based on what I've seen with the hundreds, probably thousands of salespeople I have trained and seen come and go within the career of sales, and now speaking to groups and working with companies, is that that shift in your mindset will make it so that you realize sales is service. Sales is something I'm doing for somebody and with somebody. And sales doesn't have to be this thing I'm doing to somebody. That's why I wanted to have this discussion this week before we get into urgency, because urgency is a dangerous game. When urgency is done wrong, that's what gives sales this gross, dirty feeling that feels like manipulation. When urgency is done right, then you're actually helping someone get to a better place and keeping them from staying stuck. And that's the key. That's why we're going to talk about that next week. That's why I talked about this week, because I want to put this fun foundation down one last part before we get to urgency. So that's it for this session. This is what I wanted to cover. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Thanks to everyone who was tuning in on LinkedIn, on the Facebook business page, as well as on YouTube. If you're watching this as a replay, you can also add comments, add chats, say hello, put in your feedback, put in your ideas. Let me know where this was applicable, where this helps, or if there's questions about it, you can always add those in the messages because those still pop up. I'll get notifications. We can chat back and forth. Send me a direct message or email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. If you want a copy of that ebook, Overcoming Objections, both yours and theirs, because again, like I said, we all have these objections in our mind and this baggage we take with us into a sales career. And that is usually what gets into a lot of people's way more than other people's objections, is their own objections in their own minds. So email me, happy to send you the copy of that ebook as a PDF. And one last thing, I'm super excited. It's coming soon. We're almost ready to launch. It's the Authentic Persuasion Private Group Coaching Program. Super excited about this. Cannot wait. It is literally the culmination of everything I have been doing, working on, learning, struggling with, overcoming, helping teams with in the last 19 years now, is focused on helping people close more deals and make more money using authentic persuasion. I'm super excited because it's going to be Q&A, group coaching, weekly meetings, and for a price I want to do that makes it accessible for anyone in sales, no matter what. If you're working at a company, running a company, you want to put your whole team in there. I've set it up in such a way where it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I'm so excited because for me, and anyone that knows me knows, I say this all the time, I love nothing more than answering questions. This is fun. Doing training, doing seminars, this is great. Speaking into the camera and kind of lecturing mode, this is good. But what is more fun is helping people actually resolve issues, change their mindset, overcome specific objections, help people specifically get better at their sales career. That is so fun and fits with my mission, where I love to enable and encourage those light bulb moments, help the underdog win their game, and help leave people better than I found them. And this group coaching checks all three of those boxes, and I'm excited to get as many people I can in that program. So if you want more information on that, if you haven't signed up on the wait list for that, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com and you can find the link on there to join the wait list. And then once it's launched, let you know, you can get signed up. I'm also including the eBooks. I'm including my book with it. Lots of free stuff. It's going to be great. Going to bring in some experts to have some fun with it as well. Make sure to go to jasoncutter.com and you can find the link for the group coaching. But that's it for this week. Excited for everyone. Hopefully you have a great weekend. You have some great nuggets from this that you can take with you into your sales career. Finish off 2021 in an amazing way, just shifting from what's happened in the last year and a half, and just keep the good momentum moving forward into 2022. And I will catch everybody next week. It will be Black Friday, but I'm going to do an episode anyway. We're going to have some fun, and I will see you all next week. Have a great Thanksgiving in the US, and I'll talk to you soon.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.